Welcome to the Forward Marketing Podcast, the podcast that covers internet marketing strategies and leadership tactics to move your business forward with your host, Joshua Jarvis.
Well, I'm so glad to be here today to really discuss one of my favorite things, and that is the number one marketing channel that most businesses overlook on the internet. And if you listened last week, then you kind of know what I'm about to talk about. But if you didn't listen last week, check out the last week's episode. That's five marketing tactics that you probably are doing that don't work. And I had a lot of fun really just doing those episodes. It's been kind of a crazy time at the Forward Marketing Podcast. We had to switch software. So we've gone from Audition, which I really do got to a point where I loved it, to using Audacity. So you may notice a difference in the quality of the audio. And hopefully we'll be able to upgrade that again in the coming months. But a lot of that has to do on whether or not you subscribe and rate. So again, this is for the Forward Marketing Podcast, the number four, RD Marketing. And I am, again, your host, Joshua Jarvis, super excited about today. And so today we're going to jump right in to, like I said, one of my favorite channels to generate new opportunities, and that's LinkedIn. So before you tune out and you think, oh, LinkedIn is a spam fest, LinkedIn is quite possibly the best site on the planet for connecting business-to-business people. And if you're, so that means if this podcast, how do you know this podcast is for you? Are you a business person, or are you looking to connect with a business person? That means, are you looking for a job, or are you looking to improve your employment? Or are you looking to connect with other businesses to sell your products or services? The only thing LinkedIn is not good for is selling your services to customers. And what I mean by that is that if you're a real estate agent, for instance, and you're listening to this, LinkedIn is not good in a sense that you should find individual home buyers or home sellers. But wait, don't turn off the podcast just yet. It is great for finding referral sources or finding a type of person that can be identified by job title. So for instance, if I knew that engineers were my greatest clients, in fact, that was one of the types of people that I connected really well with, I went to Georgia Tech. And so us nerds just want to stick together. And so one of the areas that I could target on LinkedIn is engineers, because a lot of engineers do have profiles on LinkedIn. You could do that with developers. You could do that with HR managers. You could do that with a variety of different business types. So it's just not the same as, say, Facebook, where you can post about your dog and all of a sudden you've got a brand new lead because you're connecting with them on that way. So, but now that we've got that out of the way, let's talk about how we can actually optimize LinkedIn to generate more leads for you. First thing you need to do is actually set up your profile. So we're going to walk through how to set your profile up. Hopefully, if you're a LinkedIn master, I know there's a few people that are on my list that actually do that for a living, that they tell people how to optimize their stuff for, that's what their business is. They're like a LinkedIn coach. That just tells you how effective LinkedIn marketing can be for you and for your business. So it's worth looking at. So if you're listening though, and you're a coach, contact me, Joshua at ForwardMarketing.com. I'd love to have you on. We can go over the more advanced topics that I'm probably not going to have time to get into today. So let's get started. So when you create your profile, you're going to create something called your name. I know you're already like, what? Are we really going to get into that level of detail? Yes, we are. The reason is I've seen a lot of you actually use the wrong name. You're not giving the name that your parents gave you, all right? It's not the name on your birth certificate. You created the best whatever, contractor, the company name, or whatever it is. You created some fake name. I don't know if you saw Infinity War, but we're not using our made-up names right now, okay? We're using our real names. Okay, so that's rule number one. When you fill out your profile, use your real name. Nobody wants to connect with anything other than a real person. This is one of the easiest ways for me to decline a connection, is that I see that it's not their real name. Some other things like their profile photo and some other things like they've not, if you've not taken the time to be professional in your sort of presentation on LinkedIn, then it's not worth doing. Let me say that again. If you're not going to take the time to go through this profile process and actually make it look like a resume, put your best foot forward, look professional, then don't waste your time. All right, so now that that's out of the way, let's talk about your headline. Now, your headline can be a lot of really good things. You could create it gives you an opportunity. In fact, it's one of your most effective weapons in sort of being found on LinkedIn. Now, here's what I would suggest, is that your headline has a strong call to action and or has keywords with it. What I mean by that is your headline can be a title that you have, podcast. What are those people? What am I called? Podcast host. The host of Ford Marketing Podcast. You know, I could do that. But then you can use something like a bar or a separator. So on the keyboard, I'm talking about those straight up and down line. You certainly could use the greater than, less than signs if you wanted to. You could use some sort of separator. It could be a comma for all I care. The important thing is that LinkedIn's search engine looks through the headlines and is looking for keywords. So let me back up a second. Before you ever do your headline, you need to have a strategy about what you're trying to attract, right? So part of the profile itself is part resume and is part keyword search. LinkedIn's search is sort of basic in a sense that it looks through all the things that you list and looks for keywords. So for instance, let's say you wanted to be found for real estate. I always go back to these real estate examples, but they can work in any industry. Leadership, if you're a conference speaker, you would use the word speaker. So what you could do is you'd say, okay, I want to be found when people are looking for a real estate agent, and most of the time they're not on LinkedIn, so this probably isn't the greatest example. But let's say they were looking for a relocation specialist. What you would do is you'd say, Joshua Jarvis, headline, relocation specialist. Or it could say, I help the biggest businesses in the world relocate to Atlanta, / real estate specialist, / realtor, you know, whatever. So that way the keywords are pipe, you know, those keywords. So what you want to do is have a call to action plus that. Where do you get the keywords from? You get it from the research that you're going to do. Now, I have an in-depth class on Skillshare that I'm happy to share the link to. You get 2 weeks free. You can go ahead and take it. This is not a Skillshare pitch. It's just I did it probably about a year ago. I did how to get your dream job on LinkedIn. I'll put a link to it in the show notes. If you email me, I'll send you the freebie 2 week thing. You can go through the course. It really only takes you like maybe under an hour to optimize your LinkedIn profile to attract people to it. So you got your headline. It's going to be based on a call to action or a cool title, and then like I said, separator plus some sort of keyword in there. Now, when you go to your position, your number one position, the one that you're currently at, is obviously the most important. What I would want you to do is that if you're not a CEO, if I could talk to a few guys in the room, if you're not a CEO, don't put that on there. No one cares. I see so many guys on LinkedIn and gals that have the word CEO as their title. If you're a solopreneur, if you have a business of one, yeah, you're your CEO, but you've just wasted three characters on something no one cares about. What's worse, if it says owner and founder and CEO, yeah, we get it. No one works for you. Yeah, I mean, I always come home and I tell my wife, I said, yeah, my boss is a jerk because it's me. Yeah, so I may even be guilty of this. I may need to check my profile before I go off too much on people who use CEO. But the reality of it is that you can probably come up with better titles. I used to love, they used to use the word evangelist as part of their thing, you know, chief evangelist officer, you know, thought that was really cool. And coming up with these new titles. The problem is that people aren't searching. So you need to understand that you can use the word CEO, and in fact, I'm going to back off a little bit from it, but you can use the CEO if you want to. I don't want to cause you to be really upset and offended with me.
But what you're, but no one's searching for CEOs on LinkedIn. No one's going to go, our company is a disaster. We are searching for a CEO. So if you just want to use it because it makes you feel better, or maybe you know you are your only, you know, you are the only employee, then use that. Where it makes sense to use the word CEO is like you actually have a business and you're, you know, there's, you know, 10 plus employees, and so you are the CEO. That makes sense to use it. In that case, you know, it makes it easier for advertisers and other connectors to find you. And maybe that's good. CEOs do want to connect, so it makes sense. So that whole thing probably would have edited if this was Audition talking about what I talked about before. But since it's an Audacity, I'm just going to keep going. And so basically, you go through your positions. You want to fill out your employers. And really, the two things you want to keep in mind, again, is that this is a resume. So if you need to use it in that way, you need to make sure that anything that would go on your resume would go on your LinkedIn profile. And at the same time, and really the same strategy applies to your resume, is you want to use the keyword the industry uses for the things that you want to be found for. And so what I mean by that is the same thing about the keywords after your call to action, is that the keywords would be related to the thing. So like for instance, I could put chief growth hacker at Ford Marketing, host of podcast, growth hacker, all those sort of the words. So if I want to be found for growth hacker, if I want to be found for digital marketing, if I want to be found for SEO or PPC or any of the terms that go along with digital marketing, I would want to put that in my employment blocks on LinkedIn. So you'd want to use all of those keywords for that. Okay. And then also, like I said, it is a resume. So you may think, well, I'm B2B. No one's going to hire me. But I do know that I've had people reach out to me on LinkedIn because they found my profile and thought I would be a good fit for their business as far as having them as a client. So just keep that in mind. The other place that you can do this in is the volunteering section. Now, a little word might need to work on the title. So let's say when I did the parking lot. I mean, I was in a parking lot ministry at our church, and what that meant was the church I was going to was very busy on a Sunday morning, and so they had people out in the parking lot directing traffic. Now, often it was a very thankless job. So shout out to all of the people who are listening to this who have ever worked in the parking lot, especially after church. It's funny, they're definitely, we could say they're Christian inside the church, but they weren't acting like it outside of it, okay? So got some one-finger salutes to write home about. I'm going, wow, you just praise God with that hand. You raise your hands and praise God, and then you came out and you showed me that. So, but I digress. The point of this is that maybe what I said was, parking lot ministry, and then a line item says, you know, I serve in the busiest real estate on the church. So I use the word real estate in that. So you may have to get creative to insert your keyword in that. If you're a greeter, for instance, at a church, you could say, you know, you're doing hand-to-hand networking and growth marketing for the church on the front door, you know, something like that. So you do need to get a little creative in the volunteer section. If you don't already run a nonprofit or have something like that that contributes to the keyword. Again, this first part is all about being found. And then lastly, to use your profile is the recommendations. Recommendations are like reviews. Now, the cool thing is you can ask for recommendations. You can pre-write your deck recommendations. And I fully want to tell you, I'm trying to think of the word. I fully support the when you get a recommendation, that you make sure that it is utilizing the keywords that you want, that it's written in the way that you want. LinkedIn is one of the few places to where you can request a recommendation, you can pre-write the recommendation that you want, and when someone sends it to you, you can request an edit. I'll never forget. This was probably 10 years ago on LinkedIn, and one of my friends from college sent me asked me for a recommendation, and this guy I really respect him, Ty. I'm talking about you. If Ty Hagler guy, if you guys need an industrial designer, as a side note, that dude is amazing. And anyway, so he had said, "Hey, could you send me a review?" And you can probably tell I am not the most detail-oriented person in the world. And so when I sent him my recommendation, it was like, Ty's totally awesome. You know, you should totally hang out with him. And, you know, he's a great designer, man. And of course, again, this was like, you know, 10 years ago. And so he, you know, he correctly took the recommendation and said, oh, Josh, this is awesome. Thank you so much. If you wouldn't mind, I've proposed some edits that might make my recommendation, make your recommendation a little bit more useful for me. And so he did that, totally respected him for doing that. It not only did his recommendation get better because he made those recommendations, not only did I agree to everything that he asked, but actually what happened was is his level of professionalism just kind of raised in my eyes just a little bit. The dude is like kills it when it comes to professionalism, detail orientedness. Like this, if I could afford to hire him, I would. And so, but you know, he just kind of raised the bar ever so slightly by taking my review back, saying thank you, appreciating it. Would you mind if we made these adjustments so it can be so that your recommendation can be more useful for me? And that's the only reason why I would ever do a recommendation anyway, is to help someone out. And so, absolutely. And I think your friends will do the same for you. So, but the whole point of it is that if you don't know your keywords and you don't know the target market that you're trying to touch on LinkedIn, then it's going to be a waste of time. So, and like I said, don't forget, you can pre-write these. So you can pre-write your recommendation. Hey, I need a recommendation. I've already made a suggestion for you to use. Would you be willing to recommend me? And it should be relatively easy to get people to do that on LinkedIn. If they're already a member of LinkedIn, then it's very, very simple to get the recommendation versus some of the other things where you'd leave reviews. So you've got your profile ready. What's another thing that you get to do with your account? You get to use something called Pulse, or whether it's kind of like a blog for your profile. What I recommend here is that you reblog, or basically copy and paste, the work that you've already put out there. Now, before you get upset with me, I am an SEO guy, and I do know about duplicate content. What I'm talking to you about is not posting duplicate content. What I'm saying is take the content from your blog, post it. And then you're going to do this one simple trick. So if you haven't listened, if you only listen to the first part, you're like, this is really boring, I turn it off. All those people are going to miss this tip, because this is basically the tip that makes it work, is that you post it, but then you cut it off and you put, you know, read more and point to the blog. And if you're really good, you try to point out that there is a canonical, and you have to go back all the way to the SEO series that we did to talk about canonical links. But basically, you do a canonical link that says, you know, the one that's on my blog is the real post, but the one that's on LinkedIn is not. Okay? And so what you're doing is you're creating content on your profile that LinkedIn considers, I don't know how much it influences the search, but it considers it. But also you give content for other people when they look at your profile to sort of consume, understand what you're about. And then also it goes into the feed. So it helps you at you being the brand. And that's really why LinkedIn, I think, is so important, is that you are the brand. In 2018, everyone's the brand. My parents worked at, and I had grandparents that worked at, my grandfather worked at Delta for like 50 years. And then I had two parents that worked at IBM for, you know, 30, 40 years. And even up until this year, my dad was working there, and the culture has shifted. And I don't mean just IBM's culture. The entire culture of the country has shifted to where everyone is really like an independent contractor, whether they know it or not. The only place I see this not happening is in the government sectors, where in like teachers, you know, where you know, you're sort of awarded for tenure, not for talent. And that's not a knock against teachers. It's just to talk about the system itself. A really skilled teacher should be paid more, in my opinion, than necessarily one that's been there longer. But that's just not how it works. And there's some beauty to that system in a sense, because it keeps people there longer than, say, the current world system where, so, you know, basically all independent contractors. The point of this whole thing is that teachers probably don't need to be on LinkedIn, but everybody else should be, because, you know, you never know when you may need a new job or you may need a new connection or and so on and so on. So use the Pulse to put your content there if you have it. Side note, do not copy and paste someone else's work and put it on your LinkedIn. That makes no sense at all. You know, those articles that these companies put out that you are supposed to be blogging and it's all over the place. There's a company that does this for real estate agents. I hate that stuff. It's totally useless. So don't do that. All right. So you've got your profile, you put your content up, you followed all my directions, and you've tried to follow along this podcast the best you could. So what next? You got a profile. You say, Josh, I don't need a job. I don't really need any of this stuff that you talked about. I'm really, really annoyed with you right now. What is the purpose of LinkedIn? Can you get to the good stuff? Well, the good stuff starts here. LinkedIn has groups. Now, groups used to be front and center as a part of LinkedIn, just like Facebook has groups. And these groups are filled with spam and other just sort of totally useless things. And that's one of the biggest turnoffs for LinkedIn, I believe. But in this case, I want you to look for a group called LION, and that stands for LinkedIn Open Networkers. And so these LION groups are on LinkedIn, and what they'll do is you'll connect with them. They have people that you can make connections with. It's kind of like going to a Chamber of Commerce meeting or another open networking meeting, and you can make contacts that way. And that's really kind of a slow way to make some connections. LinkedIn gives you the opportunity to use your email to make connections and all of that. But what happens is there is a file that once you are in the LinkedIn open networking thing, a lot of times what they'll do is they will give you a file, or you can find the file in the group settings. And the file has everyone that's listed as a LinkedIn open networker. And what you can do is you can take that file, download it, and then re-upload it to LinkedIn and saying, I want to connect with all these people. Because the only thing you need to connect with someone is an email address. And so what you can do is you take this email address, and essentially LinkedIn is giving you, this is going to sound really bad, but it's basically giving you permission to spam everyone. And what I would suggest is that you go through that list before you do this. Go through the list and make sure you're connecting with the people that you want to connect with, and make sure that your profile is set up so that when they say, who is this person trying to connect with me? I don't recognize their name. Then it makes sense that they would connect with you. If you want to do it even better, then you write them a message. And it's pretty easy to see who's taking time to write messages and who hasn't. It's also, like last week's episode, we talked about how drip marketing, if it seems like it's automated, then it's going to be a big turnoff. I've seen that a lot on LinkedIn. So that's a no-no as well. But so LION groups, and there's other groups. You'll find that there's an alumni group for the college you went to. If you went to college, there is groups for industries. And so there's two ways to utilize these groups. There's one is to connect with people. The other way is to prospect with people. So let's say bankers was a great resource for you. Then you could go to the bankers group. And I kid you not, there's groups for everything. Just like on Facebook, the difference is that these groups typically are filled with spam and professionals. So you're going to have to deal with both, but they are great ways to grow your connections, especially if, like me, I spend a lot of time at home in front of a computer. This is one of the great ways I've made a lot of connections. And so one of the speakers, we were able to connect. We connected sort of through an email, but we were able to set the podcast, Mustafa, actually. We set up that podcast all through LinkedIn and our connections. So now, Lion, after you do that, you can export your list. So you keep growing your content. You're like, how do I stay in touch with these people? LinkedIn gives you the ability to export your list. So the important thing to note on this is that you can export your list. So the important thing to note is that basically LinkedIn makes it hard for you to find. You can Google how to export my list on LinkedIn, and you'll find the link so that you can download all the connections that you've made. And then if you want to find out a great way to sort of take this, the easy way to do this is to say, okay, I downloaded my list and I added it to my email campaign and I'm going to start emailing people, right? So that's the stupid simple way to do it. But if you want a really more in-depth way on how to do this, I'm creating a freebie that you can find on the site. You can go to fordmarketing.com. You'll see, especially on these podcasts, you'll see the offer at the bottom. It says, you know, if I don't have your email already, give me your email and I'll give you access to basically the webinar that I go over how to do the very technique that Dan McCall taught me and which created this list of 10,000 listeners for the Ford Marketing Podcast. So if that's valuable to you, then go to the site. If you're curious, you need help with the technique, want to know anything else about it, feel free to email me at joshua@fordmarketing.com, and I'll help you with that. So that's basically the, 8 or 9 tips I've got on how to optimize your LinkedIn profile and connect. To just kind of do a recap, you really want to know, again, the keyword and the audience that you want from LinkedIn. LinkedIn is a great, great resource, the number one website on the planet for B2B marketers. You can even use their ads to connect, like to target individual people with specific titles. So to create your profile, you need to optimize it just like you would a piece of content. You need to optimize it for humans and for the search engine, just like you would a piece of content. And so you want to do that with your, you want to be real, but also insert keywords where you can. And that would be the case, is that make sure that the initial things that people see are all real things. They're not made up. And then after that, you can certainly insert keywords and be creative with it. Just like every tip we give every week, every tactic we talk about, it's the intentionality behind the actual tactic that's going to get you the success that you always wanted. So thanks so much for listening to this episode. Again, check out Ford Marketing Podcast. FordMarketing.com/podcast to get all the show notes and to get the freebie. And, next week, what we're going to be talking about is GDPR. Now, I know that this is going to sound like a really boring episode, and maybe it will be, but it's important. We've got to talk about this general data protection regulation. What this is something that's coming down the pipe, something that's coming down the funnel, if you will, that was created in Europe, but it's going to infect the entire, it's going to affect, not infect, maybe it is infecting, but it's going to affect the entire world. And I'm going to talk to you about how it relates to you and what you need to know about it in order to keep your business compliant, in order to keep your online presence something that Google will actually still pick up on. And it's just really important that we cover it. May not be the most lead generation thing in the world that we're going to do, but it's worth covering. So next week, we're going to talk about the GDPR. If you've got any questions or anything about that, please send them to joshua@fordmarketing.com. Be happy to answer those. I'm not an expert on GDPR, but as part of our services to our clients at Ford Marketing, we have to cover this. It's worth talking about. They need to know about this. Why are things changing? Why are the pop-ups on these websites talking about cookies? And should you be doing that? All that kind of stuff. We'll talk about that more next week on the Ford Marketing Podcast. Thanks so much for listening, and I'll catch you next week.